And so we'll look at this. The question that was given by Gallup, and this is our daily stat, Americans' view of the economy grows less optimistic. The question was posed, right now, do you think the economy is? And their questions were growing, slowing down, in a recession, in an economic depression. And so the way this was brought back, the largest group, the largest response, today, in a recession, 41%. In a depression, 30%. Slowing down, 24%. And then, I don't know, 5% of the population thinks it's growing. That must be the people smoking weed. The biggest shift was the one that said from slowing down. In March, it was 41%. That was back during the beginning of the coronavirus shutdown. And we were told, oh, you're going to get loans. We're just going to shut down for 15 days. All the happy talk, right? Oh, it's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. Yeah. Fast forward 2 months. It's a 17-point swing. More people believe that you're in a recession or a depression. Now, I'll keep saying, I hope it's not directed at Trump. Does Trump have his part? Absolutely. He listened to the Fauci. He listened to Scarf Vader. He allowed this to be shut down. And for context and for reference, somebody on Twitter said it. I don't know who the reporter is or the blue check mark. People asking how Hillary Clinton would have been dealt. They would have treated her the same way Andrew Cuomo was treated. Right? How everything is great in New York, despite the fact that the elderly are dying by the barrel. But this idea that it's completely Trump's fault. It's Whitmer's fault. It's Newsom's fault. It's Abbott's fault. It's Raimondo's fault. Any state that lost jobs, which is all of them almost, you have to look at your governor or your county officials here in Texas, like Judge Clay Jenkins, running around the city of Dallas, shutting down companies with a smile on his face. So what we're doing is hopefully channeling that correctly towards your local officials, towards those who made those decisions. But right now, people are starting to realize, and of course, the highest group that think you're in a depression, recession is going to be your libs. Your independents are in the middle. They're at 72%. Republicans are at 48%. That, I think that's more just brand loyalty to Trump, right? That's more just brand loyalty. I don't think they want to really give, they don't want to really acknowledge it, if you will. But obviously, liberals are going to point to this being in a depression because what have they been saying? What were they saying for months before this whole thing started? The only way to get rid of Trump was what? A recession or a depression. So they're more than happy to label what's going on, recession, depression, only so they can turn that to the bad orange man. That's really how this whole thing is being shaped. So that's our stat of the day here. It's 71% of people are starting to finally realize that they were lied to, as somebody in the chat room said. That they were lied to. Oh, we'll be able to shut everything down and then, you know, we're going to reopen this economy and it's going to just roar back to life. The problem is this. Trump doesn't have control over that. He can loosen regulations and he can lift his federal guidelines. But as Mike Church of the Mike Church Show has been talking about, and I talked about when the federal reopening phases were announced, since these are in the hands, these decisions are in the hands of liberal governors, Democratic governors, they're going to sit on it. They want this economic hardship. They want this number. They want it to be not 71%. They want it to be 81%. They want it to be 91%. The more people that believe we're in an economy, the more people that believe the economy is in a depression, who do they usually look to for the economy, right? It's the economy, stupid. The president, justly or unjustly, is blamed for the economic fortunes of the people in the country, and not Newsom, Whitman, Wolf, or any of those. Raimondo, right? Raimondo will have a terrible jobs report in Rhode Island, and then she'll turn around and blame the president. That's just the playbook, and it's working to perfection right now. All right, now, I guess it's Friday, so there's nothing else to talk about besides the virus. But don't worry, I'm just going to go through there's 8 stories on the front page of the Associated Press. The first one, the number one they want you to know. I love how they call them protesters, torch Minneapolis police station in violent night. Well, if it's a violent night, they ain't protesters. But yeah, that's fine. We'll call them protesters because narrative. Number two, Trump calls Minneapolis protesters thugs and vows action. Because if you're burning down police stations, you're a thug. Number three, police across the United States speak out against the Minneapolis custody death. Pretty much nobody, even your Blue Lives Matter people, are not giving this guy a pass. Number four, new drug make headway against lung, prostate, and colon cancer. They are talking about the drug. Of course, they're not talking about... AstraZeneca's Trizigo? I don't know about that. Number five, virus takes a hold in rural old plantation region of Alabama. You know the legacy media cannot wait to talk about an outbreak in Trump country so they can blame Trump. Number six, mother of Louisville police shooting victim calls for peace because there are more riots going on all around. Number seven, probe U.S. Interior Office used office for personal gain. This just in, politician is going to politician. Number nine, Boston Marathon canceled for the first time in 124 years, which is dumb because you're all outside. And number 10, U.S. consumer spending sinks by a record 13.6% in the face of virus. U.S. consumer spending plunged in April as the pandemic shuttered businesses. Can't shut down the economy and then turn around and try to jumpstart it. But of course, people are starting to believe that now, and their outlook is going to be more cynical. All right, coming up on the other side of the break, Daniel Savakis from Freedom Works joins me here on the Bear Brief on the Crusade Channel. Always on air, always online at crusadechannel.com. The last live radio station standing. Welcome back to the Bear Brief here on the Crusade Channel, the last live radio station standing, coming to you from the Republic of Texas on this Friday, May 29th, 2020. It's your humble host, Captain Middle America himself, Rick Barrett, bringing you the news of the day and the narrative that'll follow. 844-527-8723, crusadechannel.com. /chat, C-H-A-T. This segment of the program is brought to you by Foundations Restored, a Catholic perspective on creation. You can find it at crusadechannel.com/Adam. Now, without further ado, it's Friday, which means Daniel Savakis of FreedomWorks joins us, and he's got a very timely article he just dropped an hour ago at the FreedomWorks website, freedomworks.org. And it's talking about Section 230, the section of the Telecommunications Act, or the Communications Decency Act, that President Trump targeted with his latest executive offer. Daniel, welcome back to the Barrett Brief, my friend.
Always good to be with you, Rick.
All right, so it looks like from your article, you are not a fan of the actions taken by President Trump yesterday.
Yes, broad strokes, that's true. I recognize that there's a problem, and Jack Dorsey brought this on himself because he's trying to act as the arbiter of truth when you wouldn't really... Nobody can act as the arbiter of truth. We can try, but ultimately it's up for people to decide for themselves what is and isn't a conspiracy theory and what is and isn't true based on facts available to them, real-world experience. That's not Twitter's job, and I think there's a lot of partisan influence there. So I'm not at all dismissing the problem that President Trump's addressing. It's real, it's a problem, and it affects a lot of conservatives that I know. That being said, I think coming down on Twitter with an executive order and removing the Section 230 protections is ultimately going to backfire for conservatives in the long run if this is upheld, and I'm sure it's going to face a couple of court challenges along the way. But if it's upheld, I can't see this not being a problem for conservatives down the line and a lot of unforeseen consequences.
Those are all very true, but let me just ask you, Daniel, with the way Twitter is being treated, which is not a really good way to obviously put it, but the way Twitter handles the content on their website, they stepped into it by, and I'm just quoting from Senator Hawley here, they don't offer a forum of true diversity of political discourse. They are acting like a publisher in this regard. And the crazy thing is, the guy who did it, I forget his name, the head of the site Integrity, if you're going to go after Trump for any tweet, you can't step on an opinion, because that's going to give everybody validation to say, look, they censor political opinions. If you're going to fact check any, quote unquote, fact check any of Trump's stuff, don't pick an opinion to fact check.